Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, Friday edition. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, our sponsor. Steve Jones joining us from the Sunbury Motor Studio here in just a few minutes. Kevin Herr at the helm today, filling in for Matt Cotrillo, who is on paternity leave again today and for a couple of days next week as well. So we'll probably, no doubt, talk a little bit about what we have been all week and what Dan Patrick just actually talked about a few minutes ago with the new national championship potential format, which probably wouldn't happen for another, what, 3 years or so? I would say at least two for sure. But the 12-team format with the four highest-ranked conference champions being seeded 1-4. You know, I have to admit, I do like the idea when you take conference champions and put them into the tournament. First off, well, let me put it this way. I personally think 12 is just too many. I was comfortable with 6. You know, I think mathematically you could do that where you have 4 first-round games, 2 byes. I think mathematically, I think in a bracket that works. I have not written this out in long form to figure out if this exactly works this way. But if you, the brackets that I'm thinking of, you could probably do 2 byes for the top 2 teams, and then everybody else would play. And then that would get you, you know, a 6 team. 12 seems to be an awful lot of football games to play to make the championship. I think the FCS tournament has too many games in it. I mean, that takes the entire month of December and then into January before you finally get to the championship game, and that's the FCS tournament. And they have not only conference champions, but then they jump in with at-large bids. I would rather see it just be conference champions. I would rather just have conference champions be the way into this tournament and not have the at-large bids be part of it. I think that's the easiest way to do it. I think that's, you know, and it makes winning the conference championship even more important. Now, I also understand the Notre Dame issue at the FBS level. The Notre Dame issue is the fact that technically they don't have a conference. They kind of do, but they kind of don't. You know, they're still considered an independent. So how does Notre Dame factor into that? I don't know. Maybe you go with the deal that they have with the league that they are quote-unquote in now. And maybe you figure maybe that's the way that they can play themselves into the tournament if you take all conference champions. And do you take every single FBS conference champion? That's another question. How many, you know, and I don't know the number on this because, again, I have not done the physical math on this, but I would like to see at-large bids out. If you win your conference championship, that should be the first thing that should matter when you get into the tournament. And if you're going to revamp this national championship tournament, now's the chance to revamp it and revamp it top to bottom. So if nothing else, here we are in June talking about college football's national championship that is probably a couple of years down the road. And if you had a chance yesterday when Steve talked to Tony Knopp to hear more about what he thought about college football, you can catch that on the podcast at stevejonesshow.com. You can see why, I guess, from college football standpoint, I guess it's a good thing we're talking about college football right now. So, you know, and again, if you heard Dan Patrick's Above the Noise a few minutes ago, you got the proposed format, a 12-team format. 4 highest-ranked conference champions would be seeded 1-4 and get a first-round bye. 5-12 would play each other in the first round on the home field of the higher-ranked team. Quarterfinals and semifinals would be played in bowl games, and the national championship game would remain at a neutral site. And how many bowl games do we have now? What, 762? I mean, you mean to tell me we don't have enough bowl games to play all of these games as a quote-unquote bowl game?
Oh, I knew you'd come crawling back. Oh, my goodness.
I'm just trying to figure out this 12-team format.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up. So let's get to that because I think that's really good. By the way, we're going to have Doug Birdsong on at 3:35 today, which I didn't tell you about. But you know,
well, that explains the call I haven't had to return. I haven't had a chance to return today then.
Yeah. Well, part of what I want to talk to you and Doug about is that I know Bucknell has been close, but about how the 2014 playoff works in FCS, because the two of you are eminently familiar with it, because you both had to try and figure out, hey, you know, will Bucknell be in it, you know. So I want to get into, you know, your thoughts on how it works and why it works so well, because it's been 24 teams since 2013. One other note, the Penn State All Sports Museum, which has been closed for 15 months, is going to reopen on July 6th. So I wanted to give that to people as well. All right. So the 12, this is how it works, and it's interesting. I'm for automatic bids, but I think the way they've phrased it, I do want to give them credit. I think there's some thought, Kevin, as to what they did with this that does make sense. What's been the biggest complaint? You're somebody that's always for the little guy, right?
Yeah. You got these smaller conferences that don't get enough recognition, even though they're undefeated, because they don't play power-ranked teams.
Right, exactly. So you're for the little guy, so I think you're going to appreciate how this works, all right? You're going to appreciate how this works. Because I saw it at first, I went, come on, give the Power 5 teams the automatic bids, give the group of five one automatic bid, that's six, now you got six at-larges. And I've been saying that for days now. Now I've really looked into it a little bit more. And in looking into it a little bit more, the way they phrased it, Kevin, is actually, I think it'll go to what you talk about. It'll give automatics to the six highest ranked champions. So the six highest ranked champions would get in. Well, let's not assume that the six highest ranked champions are from the power, or five of them are from the Power Five. You can't assume that. For example, let's take a given year, okay? In a given year, the highest-ranked conference champions are Alabama, Clemson, Penn State, and we'll leave it at those three, okay? So Alabama, Penn State, and Clemson. So SEC, Big Ten, ACC. What if the next highest-ranked conference champion is Cincinnati from the American? Or Central Florida, all right? So we'll use Central Florida. It's just going to be easier for people to, I think, wrap their arms around it. Central Florida. What if they're the next highest-ranked conference champion? All right, well, they're in. What if the next highest-ranked conference champion after that is Boise State? They're in. What if the next highest-ranked conference champion is Coastal Carolina? They're in. So now I've got American, Conference USA, Mountain West, all in. Because based on the rankings, they're three of the six highest-ranked conference champions. And it turns out it's a year where, I don't know, everybody in the Big 12 beat each other up. Whatever. The highest-ranked. So now Iowa State, they're behind them. Stanford is behind them. Beat out USC, whatever. Now they're fighting to be an at-large team. They don't get an automatic bid. So you see where I'm going here? With what their logic, I think their logic actually is pretty sound in that regard, I think. What do you think about that?
I think they have the right idea. my biggest problem is I think the 12 is too many.
Oh, no. I have advocated 12 back in December on this show. I started with the, you know, and this has, and believe me, I'm talking about no inside information. It was me looking at the enormity of where we are in college football right now.
I mean, more the merrier. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that's a terrible thing. I just think it's going to mean a very long month of December when you're trying to get to the national championship. And quite honestly, and I'll talk about this in a few minutes when we talk with Doug, I think that's part of the problem I have with the FCS. I just think it is such a long tournament.
Well, it'll be a long tournament to a point. The first weekend is going to be home sites. 5 versus 12, 6, 11, 7, 10, 8, 9. With 5, 6, 7, and 8 hosting. The energy in those stadiums coming through the TV set would be unbelievable. Because now you've got a game with major stakes in a home stadium. To then set up the next one, which are quarterfinal games, which now you incorporate. So let's just do this in a random way. The Orange Bowl, the Peach Bowl, okay, the Cotton Bowl, and the Fiesta Bowl in this given year would host the quarterfinal games. Wow. And then you've got the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl hosting semifinal games and then college football championship game. Is the door open to playing 17 games for a team? Sure, you'd have to be one of the teams that plays the first weekend to get there. That would include your conference championship game, by the way. So does it lengthen the season? Yes, but it puts meaningful games there. And the number of games teams play, the first round losers are going to play 14 games. Quarterfinal losers are going to be playing 15 games. So, I mean, yeah, you're whittling it down as somebody playing a max number of games. For the most part, you're going to have teams playing a maximum of 16 games. And that's why I've been, you know, that's, and here's my reasoning behind 12. When you look at the NCAA basketball tournament, every part of the country is represented. This proposal has a good chance of representing every part of the country. That's one. Number two, when you look at the NCAA basketball tournament, the perception is everybody gets in. No. Only 19% of the teams get to the NCAA tournament. 19%. 81% don't. In college football, you know what the percentage is that makes it right now? 3%. Do you know what 12 teams get you, Kevin? 9%. You get 91% of the teams won't make it.
Well, that's not a terrible number. I don't mind that number. I think you're narrowing it down a little bit. I guess my thing with 6 was when we came out with 4, I felt 4 was never enough. I thought 8 was going to be a problem. And to me, 6 was the sweet spot in between. I don't think I've ever really spent a ton of time thinking about 12. So when the number 12 came out, and you mentioned that like late last year, and now the number 12 came out, I thought, wow, that's a lot of teams.
It only seems like a lot because you're going from 4 to 12. Under this proposal, Penn State would have made this playoff 4 times. Under James Franklin. Do you realize that?
Well, yeah.
Because people don't realize the Citrus Bowl team that played Kentucky was ranked 10th. Penn State would have made it 4 times under this proposal. And not only that, the Rose Bowl team would have had a first-round bye. Not Ohio State. Penn State would have had the first-round bye because only the 4 highest-ranked conference champions get a bye.
Well, real quick, I know we have a break coming up, but I have to ask this. and I don't know the answer, but we talked about this at the beginning. How many conferences are in FBS?
10.
10's a tough number to work with. So what you're looking at is you're probably, what, 10 conference champions and 2 at-large bids?
No. It's only the 6 highest-ranked conference champions and 6 at-large bids.
Okay, then let me turn that a different way. Is it a bad idea to take conference champions?
Yeah, I want the conference to be rewarded.
To take all 10 conference champions.
No, that would be wrong.
Okay.
And the reason it's wrong is this is the reason. Let's go back to numbers again and percentages. If you play in the Pac-12, for example, the Big Ten or the Big 12, you play 75% of your games within your conference. It's not like the NFL where you play, it's going to be less now, but it's going to be what, because of 17 games, it's going to be what, 35% of your games are going to be in your division? That means 65% of your games are out of your division. So if you're looking, you cannot wait a Conference USA's championship versus a Big Ten championship. I'm sorry if you're Penn State, you had to go through Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, Iowa, as opposed to, let's take Coastal Carolina. I mean, or even let's take, Central Florida. Central Florida had to beat Memphis, SMU. I mean, it's just not the same. Especially the most Power 5 conferences have a depth to them. A lot like your sales meetings.
Lots of depth.
Well, I wouldn't brag about it. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I knew you'd come crawling back. I knew you would.
I am the deep end of the bullpen.
Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Geez, Kev, I think they've been with us since day one, haven't they?
I believe so.
Purdy, Sunbury Motors, and Brewers Outlet have been with us since day one. How about that for a wow? Whew. Well, they're the best in the business. Stock up for the weekend now. Start stocking up for the 4th of July. Big party at Kevo's. Looking forward to it. Just waiting for my invite.
Keep waiting.
Keep waiting for my invite.
I'm still waiting for mine.
We're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, and it's great to be with you on this Friday on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Not everybody, of course, is known just for being the suit. Now that's an ID.
Are we calling this Flashback Friday? I mean, yesterday in Philly, it was Throwback Thursday.
We can call this Throwback Friday if you want.
Well, I talked to
We voted 7-1 to throw you back.
There it is. I talked to Tom
really
and
this easy.
I talked to Tom and Lauren in the morning on 94KX, and they do not have it copyrighted, so we can borrow it for the day.
Good. Well, today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. 6 great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, 11 of the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. With that, we bring in the outstanding voice of Bucknell Sports, football, basketball, you name it, Doug Birdsong. Doug, my good friend, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Great to be with you, Steve, and great to be on Flashback Friday.
Yes, we are, and we're going to be flashing back to 2009. You want to know why?
Is that the very first show when the man, the suit, was the person who kind of helped launch this great program?
No, it was 2 years before, and that's because we weren't working together. All right, so
I figured it was, I couldn't tell you the date, but I figured he was either going, that's the date he left the show, or...
A flashback to remember.
Yes, indeed. And so what I want to talk to the two of you about is the two of you are, of course, deeply involved in FCS football. So let's go back to the Wayback Machine, 2019, when 24 teams were in the playoffs. So how do the each of you, since you have you go through a conference championship scenario and the potential of a 24-team playoff, how do each of you view that? Because it's been 24 schools since 2013. We'll start with Doug. That way Doug can actually speak.
Should we have Dave Ritchie on here, Steve?
We might as well. We might as well get the chief on, too. This will be great. Like, everybody's worked with Kevin, we'll get a chance to talk.
It's never a problem on our broadcast on Saturdays, I'll tell you that.
Oh, he's the play-by-play guy. He should be talking.
No, I mean, with all these quick dink and dunk, no huddle offenses, there was one game I don't think I showed up till halftime.
But you know what? And the funny thing is, he still got his usual payment.
And you know, what interesting though, that was your highest rated
game. It was. Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Oh boy!
So, what do you guys, in all seriousness, what do you guys think of? Because FCS, do they make it work with 24? So we'll start with that premise. Do they make it work with 24?
I believe they do. I mean, they went to that, as you said, back in 2013, went to 24 teams, jumped up from 16, and you know, in that, the way it's structured is the top 8 seeds get a bye. So that first weekend, which is the first weekend after. You know, typically you have 11 games in FCS football. Now, some play 12. You have certain years where you can play 12 games. Bucknell has done that a few times, but that's usually relegated to a North Dakota State, James Madison, Delaware, some of the higher-up FCS programs. They'll play an extra week early, but everybody finishes right there around Thanksgiving. And that first week after everybody has finished the regular season, the other 16 teams, and they aren't necessarily seeded like you would in the NCAA men's basketball or women's basketball tournament, those other 16 teams play primarily geographically matched up against one another. And then those eight winners move on to the next round, the quarterfinals, to be able to play the top eight-seeded teams. And then, of course, those winners move on to the semis and then the championship. So now the championship used to be right before Christmas, that week before Christmas, Steve.
Yes.
But then the NCAA decided to kind of showcase FCS football and make it a little bit closer to when the FBS teams play their big bowl games around January 1st. And I think they moved it around different times. Usually about January 2nd, they'll play lately in Frisco, Texas at the soccer stadium there. And that has kind of been a good showcase for lately. It had been James Madison and North Dakota State. Of course, this year, the spring, it was South Dakota State and Sam Houston State. But, yeah, I think it's worked out pretty well, actually.
Kev, what do you think?
I go back to the fact that I think it's a very, very long stretch till you get to that championship game.
Oh. I mean, you think an eight-hour workday is a long stretch.
I think a three-hour workday is a long stretch. That's why these college games are going on too long. I don't know. I mean, I don't disagree with the fact that it seems to be successful. It seems to have some interesting matchups toward the end of the tournament. I think some of the early first and second-round matchups can be kind of lopsided at times, and I think maybe that's, to me, what takes a little bit away from it. Doug, you and I talk about this a lot on our road trips, but I think that's the toughest part is how do you figure who those other teams are, the at-large bids, and how they get in there? And I still can't figure that criteria out.
Well, they have a committee. As a matter of fact, Bucknell's Director of Athletics and Recreation, Jermaine Truax, is on the committee. And so he has to go to various sites, kind of like what bowl committees do. Steve, you're well acquainted with that. They'll go to, for let's say, the FBS, the people who put on the Peach Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl or the Sugar Bowl. It was probably not I don't know if it's as relevant nowadays as what it used to be in the 70s and 80s, but those bowl people would go to various games. I'm sure you've seen them at Penn State games, throughout the years a lot.
We used to refer to them as the Lifesavers group because they'd all come in with all different colored jackets on.
Yes. Well, now Jermaine Truax is some of the committee members. John Hart, our former AD now at Richmond, he used to be on the committee as well for the FCS. And they will go to various sites during the course of the year and kind of scout out teams they think might be good at-large picks.
Right.
You're usually talking the schools from Missouri Valley Conference. North Dakota State, of course, is in that. Northern Iowa, et cetera. South Dakota State. Conference Villanova is in, which is the Colonial, a little different, in terms of what basketball and what football is, but they're in the Colonial. And the Southern Conference has really risen quite a bit here recently. It used to be really strong, kind of fell off. Now they're back up again. Those, the OVC, Ohio Valley Conference, a little bit too. Patriot League, not as much. But, they'll go scout, and then that committee will pick those at-large teams. I think they may use some of the stats, top 25 poll that I know Kevin is a voter in. That may help them in some of their thinking and their process there, but I think most of it is probably what they see on video. I know Mr. Truax watches a lot of FCS football games throughout the course of the year.
Let's go ahead, Kev. Sorry about that.
No, my apologies. What I was going to say is, and I will say this, a lot of times the at-large bids do follow along the lines of what the national rankings are at FCS too. So, and a lot of times those conference champions are on the top of the list. I mean, that's not a big surprise, but it kind of does follow those rankings a little bit in the long run. But I think it's sometimes really tough to say, okay, you're going to compare this team that you haven't seen with this team that you have seen, and then you got to talk amongst yourselves on value and equal, quality opponents and, what opponents they have that were in common to try and figure out who gets that at-large bid. I've always been a fan of if you win your conference, that's you're automatically in, and then you go from there. at-large bids, I will say one thing. At-large bids do make it interesting in the last week or two of the season. If the conference championship has already been decided, those at-large bids get to be big and get to make those last couple of games even more important. That is the positive with it.
Kevin, what does it take for you to vote in this? Because, look, I know when I'm broadcasting my game, I'll be honest with you, I end up watching probably more Pac-12 football, you know, or whatever the late game happens to be because I'm broadcasting my game. Now, you have to vote. So what does it take for you to vote, and how do you get information to make that vote? Because obviously it can have an impact on an at-large.
Let's just say I watch an awful lot of football on road trips coming home, and I use a lot of data on my computers
right.
and stuff.
Okay.
And that's how you – and that and highlight streams. You know, you're not getting a full look at the game, but you can get a pretty good idea from highlight reels, for lack of a better way to put it, how the game went and how the matchup went.
Okay. Right, because to me that would be – Ron. That was something Ronnie Crist, I talked to Ronnie – when he was with the Harrisburg Patriot, and Ronnie had one of the AP votes. And I remember one Sunday, we were in an airport, and I said, how do you do this, Ron? I said, because we both just obviously watched the Penn State game. And he said he has to go through a lot of stuff to find out, because you're not sitting at home watching all these TV sets, and that's not what you're doing either. So I think it's going to be awfully difficult to do.
When we get it down to 20 to 25, you could ask Doug. I'll text Doug. Hey, Doug, do you happen to see this? Do you know how, if this team's legit to pop in the top 25 or not? I mean, I have. Right. I've done that.
Right. No. I mean, I think it's a legitimate question. I think that since you're one that's actually involved, I think it was a fair question to explore along the way. You know, Doug, obviously, the Patriot has not been an advancer in this thing. But they're also in a different circumstance than everybody else. The Missouri Valley, with all due respect, the standards in the Missouri Valley are not going to be the same as the Patriot. But you're going to find that in anything. Does the FCS tournament allow for the possibility of upsets? Because the college football playoff, as it's set now, the biggest upset in the history of the four-team college football playoff is Ohio State beating Alabama. Really? That's the biggest upset you've had since it started? Does the FCS tournament lend itself to upsets?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, here over the spring, Steve, we just saw some big upsets. I mean, Sam Houston State was not necessarily expected to make it to the championship game. Now, this was a wacky year because it was played in the spring. There were only 16 teams instead of 24 because they had to condense the playoff schedule because they have to get ready for practice
right.
here in late
right.
July, early August. So they can't kill these kids and then get them back for another full season coming up here in August. Yes, you can have it. And you know, I know the Patriot League hasn't necessarily done as well as they would have liked, but, you know, the Patriot League actually has done pretty well in the FCS playoffs. In 2003, Colgate made it to the championship game.
Yes.
That game
yep.
was played down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. They lost pretty badly to Delaware. This is a Delaware team, which their head coach, Coach Keeler, Casey Keeler, now is the head coach at Sam Houston State and just took his team to the championship here there about a month ago or a couple months ago, I guess, now. So they lost to them under Dick Bettle, a Hall of Fame, probably Hall of Fame coach at Colgate. And then Colgate went to the quarterfinals here a couple of years ago, lost to James Madison, but it was a pretty closely contested game. Lehigh's won some playoff games in the FCS playoffs, too. So the Patriot League has had success in the FCS playoffs. But once you get to the semifinal round, you're usually, typically, the top four teams are going to kind of be like the top four teams here in this quote-unquote playoff era of FBS football. Most likely, you're not going to have a ton of change. You know, North Dakota State has been there. James Madison has been there. But then the other two teams, you can have a little bit of an upset here or there, I think. I don't know if it's probably as prevalent to have the same four teams in the FCS as
yeah.
we've seen in the FBS.
And you know, I was thinking back, Doug, to the JMU Colgate game a few years ago where Colgate won it by a field goal. Was it 23-20, I think it was. And, you know, JMU was coming in like 9-3. Colgate was having a really good season at that point, if I remember right. Either they were undefeated or had one loss at that point. But even that, to me, was kind of a little bit of an upset, even though maybe Colgate was may have been technically a little higher ranked. But to me, I thought that was a little bit of an upset.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I think you do have some upsets in the FCS playoffs. The thing is, and I don't know, and they don't even know yet, how the FBS playoff might work, but are you going to play home and away? Obviously, a home team would have a big advantage.
Yeah.
Or is it going to be a neutral site where you both have to travel to, say, a Peach Bowl or maybe even a lower bowl than those?
I can answer that. This proposal, the first round would be home field. Would play 12, 6-11, 7-10, 8-9. Then the quarterfinal round would be utilizing the bowl games.
Why can't you utilize the bowl games in the earlier rounds too? And why not?
I think it puts a little more juice into it. It's also easier to organize.
Okay.
And instead of having, now you also minimize travel for four teams as opposed to, because you got to remember the time of the year you're in. You know, who's in finals, who isn't. I think that has to be brought into play.
But doesn't this put more stress on some of the smaller bowls to try and get quality matchups instead of getting sub-500 teams because some of these teams aren't going to be available?
No, because these 12 teams would have been in bowl games anyway.
But they would have been in bowl games later, so they wouldn't have qualified
right.
from. All right.
So they wouldn't be. And ESPN owns 14 bowl games. They own them. So those aren't going away. I mean, they literally own one-third of the bowl games, 14. So ESPN, they go, to heck with it. You know, they're out. But I also think it gives the opportunity for a Central Florida, for example, or a Boise State, to give the college football playoff the shock value that it's been missing. There has been no shock value in the college football playoff. You know, as opposed to, I mean, Doug knows. Doug's called upsets in the NCAA tournament when Bucknell's won. Shock value. I mean, I was at the Florida Gulf Coast Georgetown game in Philadelphia. Shock value. The college football playoff has not had that.
And I think that, Steve, that's what they're hoping to bring to this. To be able to bring some shock value. Now, they may still end up with the same four teams, though, in the semifinal round.
You're right. But I agree with that. You are right. You are absolutely you're that's a good point, Doug, because people have to realize you still may end up with the same four, but the path is more exciting.
Right. And one other thing that you have, a great point that you've mentioned, I've heard many times on your show, that it expands the amount of people who could watch it on television and teams and fans coast to coast. Whereas right now, unfortunately, you've had basically Alabama, Clemson, your Notre Dame is sprinkled in there as well, and Ohio State. But those have kind of been the four for the most part. You know, Oklahoma, too, has been in there. But it's been the same four or five, maybe six teams, Georgia once, but not too much.
Right. I mean, LSU once, Notre Dame twice, Michigan State once. I mean, there really has not been an expansion of this thing in terms of the pool that's there. I mean, we're going to take a break. Doug, do you want to stay on for the next half hour? Because then I'll be stuck talking to Kevin, and we're going to have to talk IndyCar.
He's not really doing anything this time of year. I mean, he's probably on the road to vacation somewhere.
I am not. I'm actually at home. But, yes, I would be happy to stick around. Because if you all don't mind, I would love to, at some point in the next half hour, talk a little bit about Mara Fiamencini, who finished third in the javelin in the NCAA championships yesterday.
Awesome. We'll get to that in a few moments. Anything you want to mention about IndyCar before we go to break?
Me or Kevin?
Well, no.
No, he was asking you. He knows
no,
I would.
I was asking Kevin.
Oh, okay. Hey, Detroit this weekend, doubleheader, get ready. I know I only got 10 seconds, so I had to make
ready,
the most.
Get ready for what?
Lots of action, lots of passing, and lots of racing.
That happens on I-80. And those people are actually going someplace.
I got nothing.
Finally, he admits what we already knew. All right, we'll come back. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And six great flavors of slushies in the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. Doug, Kevin, and I rejoin in a few moments following CBS News on News Radio 1070 WKOK.